When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, we've hit the 1 o'clock hour, 101, on this Wednesday afternoon. Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Wednesday midday, in for BT and Sal, rolling all right up until 2. It's Tiki and Tommy. They're coming your way, and Tiki right up until Yankees baseball this afternoon. Long Island bound we go. It's Brian, it's the Fan, kicking off the 1 o'clock hour. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, Brian.
Good.
Good. I had a question. It's more of a hypothetical two-part, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Part
about
one?
The Knicks. It's part one. Jalen Brunson, our captain. Do you believe that he was snubbed of an Olympic roster spot?
Probably.
Yeah. He could have definitely been on that team.
Yeah, he could have been on the Olympic definitely. Team, but been there. I mean, honestly, like I know personally for him, do I think necessarily I needed to see him play in the Olympics? No, but I think it would have been an accomplishment for him. I think he could have been on the team, as could Jaylen Brown have been on the team, coming over from the Boston Celtics.
So then that leads me to my part two. If you were Steve Kerr, and let's just say Jaylen Brunson was on the team, looking at who's on the roster, who do you think he would be who could he fill in for?
You know, Brian, I think it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. I mean, yeah, Halliburton would be the guy to replace. Like, we're breaking down games. They're winning games by margin each and every game. Let's not make it out to be like this. It's coming down to tactics by Steve Kerr. By the way, if it was coming down to tactics, I would lean on Spoelstra more than Steve Kerr in order to try and do that. Because early round, opening round game they had, I think it was they cracked out the press. And the United States team looked like they've never seen a press before and turned the ball over on three of their first four possessions before they called timeout. And I think then Spoelstra took over and said, Steve, hop aside. Let me take over this. I'll understand exactly what we're going to do here. So it doesn't matter. Like, right. you're calling up Brunson's the captain of the Knicks. Should he have been on the United States team? Probably. Do I care? No, I really don't. I just told Otis last hour, it's boring. I can't watch the games. Like, there's nothing competitive about the games unless you're, a LeBron fan, KD, or you're all fired up, and now, all of a sudden KD has got 494 career points representing the United States. They're the favorite to win the gold medal. We know America's great at basketball. We're learning it once again. The United States men's team is great at basketball. Caitlin Clark should have been more on the women's team more so than anything else. Would have led more eyeballs to the set when you look at her popularity. As far as the United States men's team, if the games are competitive, I'd be locked in. Then we could talk about X's and O's, what you're doing, how exactly who's replacing who, and all this kind of... The games are non-competitive. They're over by halftime.
And by the way, Oscar Schmidt has 1,093 points for Brazil.
Oscar Schmidt was a great shooter.
Yeah. Remember him? He averaged like 28 points in Olympic play. So KD is paling in comparison. Of course, he hasn't played as many games.
I don't think KD is going to catch Oscar Schmidt.
No, not at all.
I think he can even admit that. But yeah. What's your? I mean, the Brunson, should he have been there? Otis, what's your take? Should he have replaced? Who should he have replaced on the roster?
I would say Tyrese Halliburton, but it doesn't matter. It would have been a great accomplishment for him, though. I'm sure that he would have looked forward to that. But I think he's also enjoying, his downtime as well. He's got plenty of time to do the podcast with his boy.
He's hopping on WWE Monday Night Raw at the Garden.
Yeah,
I think he's good. Chairs. He's doing all those things. Yeah, no doubt. He's enjoying his life on the Jersey Shore during the course of the summer.
But the fact that he's in the MVP conversation, I think that's a bigger accomplishment for him.
Oh, no question.
And now he's the El Capitan.
Mayo Pack. Tim, what's going on, Tim? Timmy, are you there?
Timmy.
We'll get back to Tim here in a second. Hold on a second. But one thing I want to say about Brunson is this, is I mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that, hits you about Jalen is he wasn't viewed as the Messiah walking into the building. And has proven to be.
Mm-hmm.
When none of these other guys, whether it be Durant, LeBron, Wade, over the years, Anthony Davis, I understand not all of them were free agents. Some of them would have to be acquired via trade, but we've seen guys push themselves to certain spots via trade, all those kind of things. Jalen Brunson came here with none of that fanfare because he didn't have the accomplishments in his previous stop. He was a running mate, you know, of Luka down there in Dallas. But he has come here, and it is so refreshing to see a guy actually come to the Knicks and play to the level that he has played at.
Yeah, take it to the next level. You know what I mean? Like you said, there was criticism about the contract. It was viewed as a buddy-buddy type thing because of the his agent was a son of Leon Rose and the connection between Leon and his father, Rick Brunson, and all that. And he came in here and he put all that to bed. I mean, he is a solid basketball player. He is a, I'm not going to say he's a superstar, but he is a star in this league. He can go out and get 40 on any given night. He makes big shots. He is a leader, and I think that's why they did the whole captain thing. But, I mean, he was able to transform his game to a primetime player. Like you said, sidekick to Luka in Dallas. But now he is the main attraction here on this team, the leader. And again, just deserving of everything that he's earned and he's worked for.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's so remarkably easy to root for. Mayo Pack, Tim. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, I got a question. You were talking about earlier about the Knicks with the injuries.
Yeah.
Like, I have a question with, like, Mitchell Robinson. He's had ankle injuries the last 3 years, right? Why doesn't he wear high top sneakers? Like, it's a fashion thing in the NBA now. I don't think I've seen one guy wear high tops in the last 2 years. And years ago, everyone used to wear high tops. So, if you're the medical trainer in that team, wouldn't you make him wear high tops to protect his ankles?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not really taking notice about who's wearing high tops, mid levels, low. When it comes down to it, Robinson doesn't hold up physically. I couldn't answer that question intelligently and tell you one way or the other if that would necessarily would protect, you know, him should he land awkwardly. Come down on a player, which we have seen time and time again. You know, I don't know. I mean, Otis, you play basketball. Could that factor in? I have no idea.
I think growing up, I've looked,
and nobody wears high tops anymore in basketball. It's crazy. It's like a fashion statement. And another question I have, if you can, with the New York Giants, obviously. Neil is not a right tackle. He's never going to be a right tackle, right? So you draft him out of Alabama with a high draft pick being the left tackle. So last year when Thomas was hurt for 7 games, why didn't they try and move him to the left side to see if he can do anything on the left side? Because obviously they're not going to give him an extension. And I believe when he moves to another team, he's going to become a pretty good, decent left tackle. Because a lot of times, it ain't that easy moving right, than moving left. A lot of guys have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen guys, Tristan Wirfs was drafted, coming out of Iowa, played the right side, and has moved over to the left side, and has played both positions beautifully for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wirfs was the guy that was drafted in the same draft, the Jets drafted the kid out of Louisville. Mekhi Becton. Thank you, Dove, who ended up obviously being a massive bust. But Wirfs was a guy that's played both sides. I can't tell you. I don't think the Giants internally, I'm not going to speak for them, I don't think they're looking at this being a positional issue. I think they're looking at him being able to handle the speed of the National Football League. I think it's confounding to them why he has struggled when he has been healthy so much at the right tackle position. That's why the conversation, some of it was whether or not you're going to move him inside at some point in time to maybe move him to guard, which we have seen where guys drafted as tackles coming out of college and then they have to move inside because they can't play tackle in the National Football League. They can't adapt and change to it. So I don't think it's necessarily a case of right side, left side. I think it's the position on the whole for Evan Neal.
And back to the whole high tops or low tops. I'm old school. I played when high tops were the only, you know, thing that you could wear your coaches would frown upon if you had low tops playing out on a blacktop or in a gym or something like that. But I tried to get my kids to wear high tops early on. They were like, nah, you know, it was a comfort thing. And I don't think the Knicks medical staff can make him do anything. It's up to him as a professional to realize.
Would that factor in, though?
What's that?
Would that help your ankles?
I thought it did because that's did. What
provides protection.
Yeah, that's what gotcha. I. You know, you tie them tight around your ankles. You know that kind of thing. I also used to sometimes wear ankle braces. You know what I mean, to keep mine in place. But I don't think that they can make him do anything. I think it's up to him as a professional to realize I have these issues. I got to figure out the best way for me to stay on the court. You know what I mean? If I want to help my team, I can't be on the bench. My best ability is availability. I got to be on the court. So he has to figure that out. And maybe with the training staff or whatever it is, maybe strengthen his ankles. I don't know. But they got to figure something out if it's a recurring thing.
Tony, Staten Island. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, guys. Hi, Otis. What's Hello. Going on, Moose?
What
so
up,
I actually have a response for that high-top sneaker thing. So as a former player and as a former coach, I wanted all my kids to wear high tops, and I wore high tops. But now the NBA, WNBA, any college sports program, they all have trainers that to pay $200,000-$300,000 a year for. So those guys are all taped up. So they don't need high tops. Now, unfortunately, I have a daughter who's 11 years old, and she likes her lows. I make her wear the highs because I don't want her to get hurt. Because she doesn't get taped by a professional. If I tried to tape her, she'd curse me out.
Right, gotcha. So taping the ankles doesn't really matter in the necessarily sneaker you're using. I think with the case...
If you're taping the ankles, you don't need the high tops.
Gotcha. And, I think there are guys that can hold up physically, and now Mitchell needs to hold up physically because he's of prime importance to this team.
Yeah.
The depth is gone. He's now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he got paid a ton of money.
Hardenstein.
Yeah, and he was very, very good. When the Knicks brought him here, he's another guy that came here with no fanfare. They gave him a two-year, $16 million deal coming over from the Los Angeles Clippers, and you know, people are like, who's Isaiah Hardenstein? Well, in 2 years, he, and especially this season, stepping in for the injured Mitchell Robinson and what he meant in the playoffs, he's now gone. And I don't fault him for leaving.
Yeah.
He went to also a team that, you know, is an NBA title contender in Oklahoma City, but now the onus is on Robinson to hold up physically. And that's a big question. Like, I think Randall will bounce back. I think OG, I'm concerned about him holding up during the regular season. Mm. I have little to no confidence that Mitchell Robinson will be able to hold up physically. I think he's very similar to Stan. It's That's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah.
Like, when will Mitchell Robinson get hurt? Whether it's, you know, December, January, February, but there will come a point in time where he takes a bad step, and then you don't see Mitchell Robinson for, like, a month and a half.
And Hardenstein was going back to what you're talking about, the composition of a team, he was a perfect fit. He stepped into that role and he ran with it, you know, and he deserved that to be able to make a decision on if he wanted to come back here or sign a more lucrative deal. Oklahoma City was number one seed out west, so they are, you know, a title contender.
Yeah.
And he's right there in a prime time position, so hats off to him.
Let's head out to Madison, New Jersey. Sonny, what's going on, Sonny?
Hey, guys, I wanted to ask this. I know there's got to be a number. You guys are smarter than me. And how many shots could a team put up in the NBA per game? Because my question is this. With Julius Randle coming back to my Knicks and with Brunson, between them, someone's going to have to take less shots. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
I can't go
10 for 28.
I understand, but the question, well... not every single night, like not everything's in a vacuum. So you're not going to take one game as an example as compared to others. There might be games in which there are more shot attempts for Brunson and or Randle. And then, yes, you want them to be efficient with those shots. The offense, those are going to be your top two offensive options when you look at this team when healthy. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think it's like the flow of the game, too. There's times where somebody's got it going. Well, you better find him a little bit more. If it's Brunson and he's got it going and he's handling the basketball, he might do a lot more isolation. If Randall's got it going, then it's Brunson's job to get it to him. And as team players, which we hope they both are, and we pretty much are pretty sure that they are team guys. They're not going to just go out on their own. They would make those right decisions. So it's, I think it's a lot to do with the floor of the game and who's doing what.
Any, to answer your question, anywhere between 84 and 92. That's where basically the average falls, depending on the team.
For the
when
team?
You're looking at yeah,
84.
Team team shot attempts per game, anywhere between 84 and 92. And obviously flow of the game, tempo of the game, all those things get affected. Offensive output, all those things. 117, Melusis Livingston with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Rolling right up until 2. Tiki and Tommy, they come your way then.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
1:23 on this Wednesday afternoon. Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. Our buddy Frank Isola sent me a text. Everyone gets their ankles taped. I was like, yeah, thanks, Frank. I wasn't expecting a debate between low tops and high tops in the NBA.
That's a hot
Wednesday
topic.
Afternoon. That's exactly right. Frank's absolutely right, and I appreciate him chiming in and shooting me a text. He's 100% correct.
Yep.
Well, I can't tell you about other than that. If you're playing youth basketball, obviously you're not getting your ankles taped.
Yeah, I don't know how many trainers are on staff for that. I'm not sure, but some big tournaments, they might be some on site, but yeah.
By the way, just on a side note, because we haven't hit upon the Mets at all during the course of the last 3.5 hours plus, but I will say, like, Alonso, who got dropped, and the Mets continue their series later on tonight. They got Paul Blackburn on the mound against the Colorado Rockies, who are a dreadful baseball team, and you know, the Mets are on this 10-game road trip, right? 3 in Anaheim, then they had a game against St. Louis, then continuing their series in Colorado. And, you know, Mendoza's not making any examples or making excuses, but these are games you got to win.
I mean,
you can't come off this road trip, you know, losing games. They're sitting here, as we sit here on this Wednesday, they're a game and a half out of the last wild card spot in the National League. And they've got to get themselves, and the thing that's hurt them is the offense. Now, with Alonso, I'll tell you this, Otis, I have maintained for a long time, I didn't think the Mets would ever trade him at the MLB trade deadline. If they were out of it, potentially, they were not out of it. They were in it. They were never moving him. Now the question comes, after this season, what do you do with Pete Alonso? He's making it a little bit easier he's making it a little bit easier for the Mets to potentially move on from Pete Alonso and rip that Band-Aid off if they don't want to pay him. Now, his marketplace is shrinking, too. You know, I saw Alonso yesterday before the series started out in Colorado talking about the fact he was an all-star this year. He's on pace to hit 40-plus home runs. I mean, Pete, you've had a terrible year.
Yes.
There's no other way to cut it. I mean, you've had a really bad season. I know you've got 23 home runs. I know the power's still there. You've been remarkably unclutch. Mm-hmm. There only comes a point in time. I can't hear the fact that you were an all-star this year either.
Right.
Like, that does nothing for me. Now, I'm looking for Alonso to get going here. Yeah, I think the Mets dropped him to fifth in the lineup for the first time. He dropped below four since 2020. So it's been quite some time for Pete. Now, he's back up to that cleanup spot. That's fine against Colorado. Dropped him in the St. Louis game. Alonso's got to get going here, because if he doesn't get going, first off, he could come back on a cheaper price.
Right.
But you're also presenting the option of, just what am I exactly paying for moving forward? And I know it's a contract year. Pressure's on him.
Mm-hmm.
He has looked terrible this year offensively.
Yeah, and we have a clear-cut example of a guy betting on himself and cashing in right here in town with Aaron Judge a couple years ago. I mean, the fact that he turned down a contract and then had that monster season and got the contract that he wanted and the captaincy, it makes Pete, what he's going through right now, it pales, man, because he is not coming up. He's not hitting with runners in scoring position. He's not playing great baseball. So, he is making it easier on the Mets. I think that they do like him. They do want him. They homegrown guy. And I think.
But let me ask you right now. Do you think right now Pete Alonso is a Met in 2025?
I think so. At a cheaper price.
At a cheaper price.
That's what I believe. Like I said, a homegrown Met has had his moments. As far as the All-Star this season,
yeah.
Wasn't that part of a deal that he'd do the Home Run Derby and then he became an All-Star?
I don't think so.
I thought I heard something like that.
There's a connection. Maybe. I mean, I don't really get caught up into the All-Star game.
He touted that.
He did talk about that. Yeah. I mean, it's great that he's a part of the Home Run Derby, but for the first time in a while, if you ask me to place a bet one way or the other right now, I think maybe Pete's gone.
Okay.
First off, he looks like, if anybody watched his pregame interview yesterday when he met with the media, he looks exhausted. Like, what happened to Alonso? Like, Alonso used to be a free spirit. Alonso used to be a character. He used to give you a kind of a good interview. And now he gives you the same kind of boring, repetitive, jitterian type of responses to things. It's almost like someone took his soul. Like, the old Pete Alonso is long gone. Like, that guy, that happy-go-lucky guy. And maybe it's the pressure of the contract. Yeah. Here. Maybe it has to do with the fact he's not performing.
Yep.
Doesn't feel like he's contributing. Maybe the fact that he has to answer the same questions each and every day when he goes to a different city. I get all that. Different reporters, different people covering the game.
Yeah.
But still, that guy is long gone. The joy seems to be gone as well. Seems that the weight on his shoulders, and with the year that he has had, I said at the All-Star break, Otis, that if he ever had a big-time second half, it would be obviously beneficial to him wanting to get paid, be beneficial to the Mets as they are trying to make the playoffs here as a wild card team in the National League. He has yet to get on track, dropped in the lineup the other day. And right now, if you're asking me if he's here in 2025, forever, for the last year and a half, I would tell you, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt Pete Alonso's not a New York Met. I'm not so sure. Right now, if you ask me, I think he probably goes.
Yeah, I feel like he would be here. I think he has value to the team that they, you know, see in him. But it could go either way. When was the last time he said LFGM?
Yeah, long
time.
When
was the last time? I mean, you know, so yeah, I think there's layers to this. I think there's a lot of things that are weighing on him. This contract, setting up his family for the rest of his, getting a number that he wants, all those sorts of things. And you're not producing out on a baseball field like you would expect or have done in the past. So there's a lot weighing on him. He's got to fight through it. He's got to come up with some numbers. He's got to help this team get to the playoffs, and all that stuff will work in his favor.
And the driving force has not been Alonso. The driving force has been Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
You could even make the argument that Iglesias and OMG has brought this team together more than Alonso. Like, what the biggest home run hit this year was by J.D. Martinez.
Right.
It was not about Pete Alonso. You look at his numbers with runners in scoring position, they're terrible. I mean, they're just downright awful. In pressurized spots, scoring position two out, bases loaded, they're all well under, you know, the strikeouts, everything you're seeing with Alonso. Yeah, the power's there, but you would expect him. I mean, he's got raw power. You
That's
would expect
what he
him
is.
To run into the baseball. But being the home runs of impact, you've not seen that from Alonso this season. And maybe it's the contract year. I don't know what it is, but that joy for Pete seems to be gone here. He says all the right things.
Right.
I'm not telling you he says anything that's going to kind of fan the flames. Does all that. Answers the questions from the media. Is always there in front of his locker doing all those things. But now you look at him, the Mets would need him to get going and would love to see him get going out there in Colorado.
Yeah, so you're saying OMG has replaced LFMG.
Yes, I think it has. It's a catchy song.
Oh, whatever.
Really is. I didn't even know Iglesias had that good of a voice.
Yeah.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, didn't he perform it at the All-Star game too?
He did.
Yeah. Sweeping the nation.
Performed at the All-Star game. He did it after a Mets game in the first half out at Citi Field.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's
bad timing for Pete to have this type of situation. And then he hired Scott Boras, you know, so that was a bad look for a lot of people, you know. So, yeah, he's got to finish strong here. And be a part of
him.
The reason why. Yeah,
well,
they do.
And they need him because this lineup has cooled off a little bit. They were 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position last night in Colorado. These are games you can't lose.
You can't lose that game.
And I understand Severino was not particularly good, even though Mendoza excused it after the game. Manaea was great the day before against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
You need Mendoza. You need Severino to be really good here moving forward. And his last two starts have not been representable because the Mets did not shop at the high end of the market at the MLB trade deadline, even with the calf injury to Kodai Senga. And this start, they added a depth rotational piece in Blackburn from the Oakland Athletics. You'll see him tonight later on against the Colorado Rockies.
Yep.
but they need Severino to be the Severino. He's been the majority of this season, not the one the last two starts. And last night, he's got to be better against the Rockies.
Yeah,
or a dreadful baseball team.
You know, and it looks like this race to the wire is going to go down to the wire. It's going to be tight. There's going to be a number of teams in that race. You got to win these games. I mean, the Colorado Rockies, 30 games under 500, and I feel like you lose 2 out of 3, so everybody's down. You beat the Cardinals, so everybody's up. They've changed it. Now you lose the opener. Do they have to win the last 5 on this road trip?
I started the road trip when I looked at it. I thought the Mets had at least go 6-4.
Okay. So right now they're 2-3.
Correct.
Okay. 6-4. Yeah, that's doable.
I mean, if you go 6-4, you'll take that.
Yeah.
I'd love to go 7-3. I don't think they're going 7-3.
Yeah.
Will in New Jersey is up next to the Fan. What's going on, Will?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. So, what you guys were saying about Pete Alonso, right?
Yeah.
How he's acting different? Clearly the problem is that he hired Scott Boras as his agent.
Why is that affecting his play now on the field?
I mean, it's just putting the pressure on. Boras wants to get his clients the money, right?
Yeah, well, that's why he hired Boras, because he wants to get paid following the season. But now you want to say it's the contract year? Well, we've seen two players in this marketplace. Gleyber Torres hasn't reacted well to the contract year. Pete Alonso has. Pete Alonso has not. Juan Soto has reacted well to it being a contract year. He's playing brilliant baseball, and Soto's looking to make anywhere between $500 and $600 million plus in free agency. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, he's younger than Alonso, too. He's in his mid-20s. Pete Alonso's about to turn 30. So they're at different stages of their professional career. Soto came up to the majors a lot younger than Pete Alonso did. But I don't think this has anything to do with Boras.
Right.
I think this has to do with where Alonso is as a player, how the league has adjusted to him. He has not adjusted. He has not reacted well. He might be pressing a little bit because he's looking to get paid following this season.
I just mentioned Boras because of the optics of it. You know what I mean? Not necessarily that would put any pressure on him, but just the optics of he wants to get paid. He wants, you know, I think a lot of people have a bad feelings about Scott Boras as an agent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the message is clear. He wants his money. Yep. What else, Will?
That's it.
You got it, Will. Appreciate the call, brother. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is mm-hmm. he wants to get paid following this year.
Yep.
And I think Alonso, I don't think he's going to have the marketplace he probably thought he was going to have, especially coming off this kind of year. Now, could it help the Mets? Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. Could it help them go out and bring Pete Alonso back at a more favorable contract for the organization when he has this kind of a season? No question. But you'd love Alonso to be a major part of this team, because I do think right now, with the run that they had went on for a quarter of this season, Otis, that it would be a disappointment if this team fell out of the wild card race and weren't a playoff team in 2024.
Yeah, especially the way they dug themselves out of that big hole to start the season. They're a fun team to watch. They're exciting. You're on pins and needles all the way down to the end. They, you know, Lindor is an MVP candidate. They're exciting. So, yeah, you'd like to see them cash it in by winning the wild card and getting into the playoffs.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good beat coming out. 142, Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. Take it right up until 2. What was it, Loogie and Lightning?
Yeah.
Loogie and Lightning. That's coming your way. That's Tommy and Tiki coming your way at 2. Queensbound we go. Mike, the Fan. What's going on, Michael?
What's going on? I just want to say, when Pete Alonso approaches the plate, he used to do something. He used to swing the bat really hard and stop halfway, like he was pumping up. He kept swinging that bat hard and jerking it to his stop. He doesn't do that anymore. I wonder if that has something to do with his hitting.
I think we're digging a little deep.
That's a deep dive.
Well, yeah. I think it's his approach at the plate. He doesn't look like he's really licking. He's swinging as he's coming up, not doing his pump anymore. I'm telling you, I think it's taken away from him psychologically.
Well, I think it's, Mike, I appreciate it. I haven't taken notice about his pre-bat routine and noticing that with Pete Alonso. I'll take your word for it. But I think it's more a case of confidence. He hasn't had the year. It's kind of spiraled here. for Pete. He's never really gotten going. He's watched other guys play, you know, big time roles of impact on this team, you know, whether it be Iglesias on the field, off the field, whether J.D. Martinez, his impact unquestioned, Francisco Lindor throwing himself into the MVP conversation on the outside looking in, but still the run Lindor went on, Vientos, Alvarez, Nimmo to a certain extent. Like, you know, Pete hasn't, you know, even Jeff McNeil as of late. You know, you haven't had Alonso. It's just been the same conversation about Pete, whether they were losing or whether they're winning, about his future here in New York. And he doesn't look like he's, I'll be honest with you, like, he doesn't look like he's having fun. Like, that guy seems to be long gone. Now, maybe it's just a bad year and he hasn't responded well. Maybe it's the pressure of the season. I'm not telling you he's been a bad teammate. It's not that.
Right.
It's just a case of Alonso had a certain kind of aura about him. And if you watch him as of late, that guy seems to be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the pressure of it all. And I think the lack of production. You know, he's used to being in the mix, one of the guys that you can count on, and it's just not happening this year. He still has some time to do something, though, because they have not solidified the wild card spot. Nothing has been determined yet, so there's still time, and we'll see if he can do that, if he can get out of this, whatever it is, malaise, this slump, or whatever it's called, and contribute to this team and help them get to the playoffs.
Tom, Rahway, New Jersey, is up next to the fan. What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, I think I have the ultimate Pete theory. Pete's the polar bear, right? So he's a hunter. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of a show called Meat Eater, but he was on it once. He comes from a hunting family.
No. What is the show Meat Eater all about?
Meat Eater is a show where they go out and they harvest animals, any kind of animal, fish, ducks, deer. Mm. And then at the end of the show, they show you how to, you know, harvest the animal, how to prepare it, and they'll give you a recipe.
Huh.
And Pete was on that show, and he bagged a deer, and I would guess that was the last time he went hunting in his life. And speaking as someone that comes from that kind of genre, when you're born into that, sometimes you need to get out in the woods and get your adrenaline up and you know, face it down to feel like yourself again. And my theory is, living in the city, he probably hasn't been hunting since that episode of Meat Eater.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you if he has or he hasn't. I mean, the entire offseason, I've never gone hunting. Have you ever gone hunting?
That sounds like my in-laws, though. My wife's family, they hunt. They go, do. Oh, yeah. They take weeks in the mountains.
Really?
Yeah. It's a way of life, man.
Like with what? Guns or bows? What are they
shooting? Guns.
Guns.
Yeah, guns. Interesting. And I've never gone with them. I will never go with them. I don't want any accidents happening. You know, but yeah, I mean, does he propose that Pete go on a hunting trip during the season?
Find himself a little bit. Get back to nature.
Yeah, the other guy wanted to pump you up. You know, to
kill
play.
A deer, make him feel more like a man. Skin it, harvest it, eat it. Become one with nature. I mean, I've never gone hunting. I don't think I'll ever.
No, I'm not doing that.
I mean,
that.
I can't even fish. Yeah. No less hunt. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't do.
I want no parts of hunting.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be afraid of like getting a tick. Getting some kind of rare disease, all of a sudden get bit, rattlesnakes, all that kind of
and
stuff.
And for
no.
what?
No.
Is
no,
it
no.
worth it?
No. Well, listen, to some it is, I guess. I mean, that's it, right? Yeah. When I was growing up in Pearl River, our next door neighbors, the Schultzes, they were hunters. They'd come back. I remember this clear as day, right? Living in Pearl River, New York, and they'd go hunt, and then they'd hang the deer upside down to let the blood run out from trees outside their house.
Yeah.
I remember like going outside and all of a sudden you go next to a deer carcass as flies are around and that. I'm like, this is disgusting.
One of my first experiences with my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, was walking into their garage and seeing deer hanging upside down in there. And like you said, the whole carcass, the blood, that bring you closer together? Huh?
That bring you closer together?
It made me a little scared. I was a little scared. Like, what have I got myself into here, you know? But, you know, they would make, like, they would ground it up. You send it to a place, and they and so they gave it to us so that we can have to eat. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. But I won't be doing it.
We had a guy that worked on our house, right? We bought a lemon of a house, right? Mm-hmm. Money Pit, remember the old Tom Hanks movie, right? Whatever could go wrong has gone wrong in our house, right? So we had a guy like working on our house, and he was a hunter, and he brought over some venison sausage
one day.
And I'm not one, look at me, I'm not one to turn down a meal or anything like that. So he brought over, he's like, try it. I was coming off an overnight. It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
It was absolutely delicious. He's like, I killed that deer and harvested it myself. I'm like, a little too much information.
Yeah, I don't need
the
to know
that. The food tastes great. It tastes great. Merrick, we go. Billy, what's going on, Billy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Billy.
Great.
I know you mentioned, you know, it seems like the life has been sucked out of Pete. You know, he's sitting at his, you know, his locker, and they're asking him the same questions every day, and he doesn't have that joy anymore to play. It kind of reminds me of what regular men have to do in life when you're married. And you're getting asked to do those chores all the time, and you sooner or later just need to take that breath and relax and take some time to yourself instead of stressing over the same thing, the same question every single day.
You sound like a beaten man, Billy.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
What's happened? But, what
happy wife, happy life. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on with you? I feel bad, Billy.
He needs it. He needs it. He needs
Let Otis and I be your therapy. What's going on in your marriage? We can help you.
Lay down on the couch.
But so, listen, I'll talk from personal experience. My wife hates me.
Oh my gosh! I mean, what are you proposing for him? What are you proposing him to do during the season? You know, he can't take time away.
I'm just saying. What I'm saying is just the same question every single day. When are you going to get out of this funk? When are you going to start hitting? When can you start contributing? It takes a toll on a person after a while.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, Billy, I understand, and he's answering it. You know, he's not like he's turning down media requests and all that. I don't know if I'd necessarily compare it to married life, though. I mean, there's different. Once, like, because, you know, you get married, you have a family, like, all the personal time is gone. Like, Otis and I were talking about during the course of the break, and we were talking about golf, because we're going to the David Cohen charity golf event tomorrow, right? So, And Ed Lucas and a great foundation and all that. And I was like, when do I have time to go spend 5 hours on a Saturday to go play golf? Like, that's on a public course. I'm not belonging to some club. In a public, like, that's just not happening. Like, I don't really have that time to be able to do that. I've taken my kids out. Twilight golfing. We'll get through 8 or 9 holes late on a Saturday or Sunday night. But I can't go out there and go do that. Like, I just, there's no time to do it. You want to spend time with your kids.
Exactly.
Like, your time goes away. Like, you have to understand, there's no more no more me. It's we.
Yeah,
like, we is greater than me,
or what
there's
I can no do more, for them.
There's no more you. That's all gone. Once you're married and have kids, there's no more you disappear for the most part. It's all about your wife and your kids.
And I'm fortunate, like I was telling you, Mark, my wife loves golf. So we go out and we play together. So that's extra time for us. And I don't have to make an excuse. I don't have to get a pass to go play because she's right there with me. And I know you're working on that as well in your relationship.
Yeah, you know? My wife wants me to go play tennis.
It's a beautiful thing,
man. I think she wants me
to
go play tennis, so I dropped dead of a heart attack.
No, I don't think that's why. Oh, my goodness.
I'm Joe's joking. She wants to play golf. I'm like, Donna, I first off, yes, let's go play golf. Right. Let's go play golf. That's it. Can we take the cart? I don't want to walk.
Oh, man. Well, we both, we walk. We walk. So God bless you. Get a little exercise.
You're
out
more
there.
Physically fit than I am.
Well, you know.
There's no doubt. 100%. That's not even debatable.
She makes me. She makes me.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah, look at your arms. What are you? How much gym time are you pulling in a day, Otis? I mean, come on. Put those guns away. Yeah. Linden, New Jersey, we go. It's Carmen. It's the fan. What's going on, Carmen?
My home, Linden.
Oh, really? All right. You're from London as well, huh?
Yeah, that's where we live,
Oh, really? Well, the first thing I was going to say was I really enjoy the way you talk, soft-spoken, commanding respect with your soft-spoken, and I really like the way you spoke about your son and everything, and I enjoyed you. And Moose, I've always enjoyed you for a long time, and I love your takes on everything. But I'm amazed. You know, you're in Linden right now. I mean, you're still living in Linden.
Right.
Not right now. I'm in Manhattan right now, but yes, definitely.
No, I didn't mean right now, but I mean your residence is still Linden?
Yes, it is.
I'll give you his address.
Oh, please. Yeah, come on by. No. Got some venison.
No. That's terrific. I didn't think anybody famous lived in our town.
Infamous, maybe? Come on. I'm infamous.
Well, that's fantastic. It's a terrific town. Second thing I just wanted to say, I'm a 75-year-old guy that has been a Yankee fan all my life. From the time I was 7 years old, when the number 7 came up, Mickey Mantle was my idol. And I love the Yankees. But when the Mets started playing, I've always been, I may live in Linden, but I've always been a New York fan. A Yankee fan, but I love to see the Mets do well as well. Mm-hmm. And like tonight, I'm looking forward, hopefully the rain doesn't get in the way, to the two Yankee games at 4 and 7.
Yeah.
And then seeing the end of the Mets game, which they start at 8:40.
Yeah.
So, and I root for the Mets. They're exciting as well. And the final thing that I would like to say is I heard my voice on one of the tapes that they do on a commercial on the radio. Mm. It's my voice. I made a statement that I would love to see the Yankees and the Mets in the World Series this year and the Yankees win in 7 games. And they recorded the voice. It was nice to hear.
Yeah.
And
Carmen,
I hope that happens. There's one final question I want to ask you, Moose. Do you have any idea right now with FanDuel or whatever, if I were to place a bet that the Mets and the Yankees?
Yeah. What those odds are? I mean, Carmen, I don't know. You're talking about the matchups. I don't know what those odds would be right now if you're looking to get Mets and Yankees in the World Series. Mm.
But as a sportscaster, that would be a dream matchup, right? Subway Series again?
No doubt.
That'd be awesome.
Great. It'd be great. Just get me one there. I mean, just one of them.
Yeah.
One of them. Dutchess County. John.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about, Alonzo? Maybe he should go do what Aaron Rodgers did, go in a tent and smoke a little, or maybe drink some bourbon. That's what I think he could do. A or B, some smoke in a tent like Aaron, or you could have some bourbon like I do.
So, right. So relax a little bit. Drink or smoke weed.
Yeah.
What about just a darkness retreat?
Yeah, I mean, bold.
Yeah.
Darkness retreat. It could do that.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the season.
We could all use a hallucinogenic, right? If that's the correct way to pronounce it. Mike in Fairfield, final call of the day. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to kind of piggyback on the guy that talked about Pete and compared it to a marriage. Maybe Pete's just in an unhappy marriage right now. I had that situation in life. I'm a Yankee fan, but like, you know, Pete's, you know, he's stagnant. He needs some new blood. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Mets aren't really going anywhere, most likely, as we all know. You know, maybe you should come over to the other side.
Oh, to the dark side.
What do you think?
To the Yankees, showing the evil
to the
empire.
Dark side.
So, Mike, you are a divorcee?
I'm a divorcee, and I'm currently engaged. Ah, so, you know.
You found happiness.
Get back on the horse.
Get back on the horse. Well, I don't know. I just look at Alonzo now, and Mike, thanks a lot for the call. You know, where's the joy?
Yeah.
It's
been zapped.
Here. Yeah, it looks like exhausted. It.
Yeah.
Otis, this has been a blast.
As always, man.
You got it, brother.
Love working with you, man.
Enjoy Linden. Make sure to say hi to Carmen.
He's going to swing
by. Let me know when you're going hunting. All right? I'll work on the golf game with Donna.
There you go.
Once she starts talking to
me. I'm telling you.
Dove fantastic.
They're exciting. So, yeah, you'd like to see them cash it in by winning the wild card and getting into the playoffs.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ah, good beat coming out. 142, Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. Take it right up until 2. Was it Loogie and Lightning?
Yes. Yeah.
Loogie and Lightning. That's coming your way. That's Tommy and Tiki coming your way, too. Queensbound we go. Mike, the fan. What's going on, Michael?
What's going on? I just want to say when Pete Alonso approaches the plate, he used to do something. He used to swing the bat really hard and stop halfway like he was pumping up. He kept swinging that bat hard and jerking it to a stop. He doesn't do that anymore. I wonder if that has something to do with his hitting.
I think we're digging a little deep.
That's a deep dive.
Well, yeah. I think it's his approach at the plate. He doesn't look like he's really, like, in. He's swinging as he's coming up, not doing his pump anymore. I'm telling you, I think it's taken away from him psychologically.
Well, I think it's, Mike, I appreciate it. I haven't taken notice about his pre-bat routine and noticing that with Pete Alonso. I'll take your word for it. But I think it's more a case of confidence. He hasn't had the year. It's kind of spiraled here for Pete. He's never really gotten going. He's watched other guys play, you know, big-time roles of impact on this team, you know, whether it be Iglesias on the field, off the field, whether J.D. Martinez, his impact unquestioned, Francisco Lindor throwing himself into the MVP conversation on the outside looking in, but still the run Lindor went on, Vientos, Alvarez, Nimmo to a certain extent. Like, you know, Pete hasn't, you know, even Jeff McNeil as of late. You know, you haven't had Alonso. It's just been the same conversation about Pete, whether they were losing or whether they're winning, about his future here in New York. And he doesn't look like he's, I'll be honest with you, like, he doesn't look like he's having fun. Like, that guy seems to be long gone. Now, maybe it's just a bad year and he hasn't responded well. Maybe it's the pressure of the season. I'm not telling you he's been a bad teammate. It's not that.
Right.
It's just a case of Alonso had a certain kind of aura about him. And if you watch him as of late, that guy seems to be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the pressure of it all. And I think the lack of production. You know, he's used to being in the mix, one of the guys that you can count on, and it's just not happening this year. He still has some time to do something, though, because they have not solidified the wild card spot. Nothing has been determined yet, so there's still time, and we'll see if he can do that, if he can get out of this, whatever it is, malaise, this slump, or whatever it's called, and contribute to this team and help them get to the playoffs.
Tom, Rahway, New Jersey, is up next to the fan. What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, I think I have the ultimate Pete theory. Pete's the polar bear, right? So he's a hunter. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of a show called Meat Eater, but he was on it once. He comes from a hunting family.
What is the show Meat Eater all about?
Meat Eater is a show where they go out and they harvest animals, any kind of animal, fish, ducks, deer. Mm. And then at the end of the show, they show you how to, you know, harvest the animal, how to prepare it, and they'll give you a recipe.
Huh.
And Pete was on that show, and he bagged a deer. And I would guess that that was the last time he went hunting in his life. And speaking as someone that comes from that kind of genre, when you're born into that, sometimes you need to get out in the woods and get your adrenaline up and you know, face it down to feel like yourself again. And my theory is, living in the city, he probably hasn't been hunting since that episode of Meat Eater.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you if he has or he hasn't. I mean, the entire offseason, I've never gone hunting. Have you ever gone hunting?
That sounds like my in-laws, though. My wife's family, they hunt. They go, do. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. They take weeks in the mountains.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a way of life, man.
Like with what, guns or bows? What are they
shooting? Guns.
Guns.
Yeah, guns. And I've never gone with them. I will never go with them. I don't want any accidents happening. You know, but yeah, I mean, does he propose that Pete go on a hunting trip during the season?
Find himself a little bit. Get back to nature.
Yeah, the other guy wanted to pump you up, you know, to
kill a deer, make him feel more like a man. Skin it, harvest it, eat it. Become one with nature. I mean, I've never gone hunting. I don't think I'll ever.
No, I'm not doing that.
I can't even fish. Yeah. No less hunt. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't do.
I want no parts of hunting.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be afraid of, like, getting a tick. Getting some kind of rare disease, all of a sudden get bit, rattlesnakes, all that kind of
and
stuff.
And for what?
No.
Is it worth it?
No. Well, listen, to some it is, I guess. I mean, that's it, right? Yeah. When I was growing up in Pearl River, our next door neighbors, the Schultzes, they were hunters. They'd come back. I remember this clear as day, right? Living in Pearl River, New York, and they'd go hunt, and then they'd hang the deer upside down to let the blood run from trees outside their house.
Yeah.
I remember like going outside and all of a sudden you go next to a deer carcass as flies are around and this and that. I'm like, this is disgusting.
One of my first experiences with my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, was walking into their garage and seeing deer hanging upside down in there. And like you said, the whole carcass,
that bring you closer together?
Huh?
That bring you closer together?
It made me a little scared. I was a little scared. Like, what have I got myself into here, you know? But, you know, they would make, like, they would ground it up. You send it to a place, and they gave it to us so that we can have to eat. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. But I won't be doing it.
We had a guy that worked on our house, right? We bought a lemon of a house, right? Mm-hmm. Money Pit, remember the old Tom Hanks movie, right? Whatever could go wrong has gone wrong in our house, right? So we had a guy like working on our house, and he was a hunter, and he brought over some venison sausage
for the day.
And I'm not one, look at me, I'm not one to turn down a meal or anything like that. So he brought over, he's like, try it. I was coming off an overnight. It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was absolutely delicious. He's like, I killed that deer and harvested it myself. I'm like, a little too much information.
Yeah, I don't need
to know.
The food
tastes great. It tastes great. Merrick, we go. Billy, what's going on, Billy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Billy.
Great.
I know you mentioned, you know, it seems like the life has been sucked out of Pete. You know, he's sitting at his, you know, his locker, and they're asking him the same questions every day, and he doesn't have that joy anymore to play. It kind of reminds me of what regular men have to do in life when you're married. And you're getting asked to do those chores all the time. And you sooner or later just need to take that breath and relax and take some time to yourself instead of stressing over the same thing, the same question every single day.
You sound like a beaten man, Billy.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
What's happening? But what
happy wife, happy life. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on with you? I feel bad, Billy.
He needs it. He needs it. He needs
Let Otis and I
like
be your therapy. What's going on in your marriage? We can help you.
Lay down on the couch.
No. So, listen, I'll talk from personal experience. My wife hates me.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what are you proposing for him? What are you proposing him to do during the season? You know, he can't take time away.
I'm just saying the same question every single day. When are you going to get out of this funk? When are you going to start hitting? When can you start contributing? It takes a toll on a person after a while.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, Billy, I understand, and he's answering it. You know, he's not like he's turning down media requests and all that. I don't know if I'd necessarily compare it to married life, though. I mean, there's different. Once, like, because, you know, you get married, you have a family, like, all the personal time is gone. Like, Otis and I were talking about during the course of the break, and we were talking about golf, because we're going to the David Cohen charity golf event tomorrow, right? Right. So, and Ed Lucas and a great foundation and all that. And I was like, when do I have time to go spend 5 hours on a Saturday to go play golf? Like, that's at a public course. I'm not belonging to some club. At a public, like, that's just not happening. Like, I don't really have that time to be able to do that. I've taken my kids out. Twilight golfing. We'll get through 8 or 9 holes late on a Saturday or Sunday night. But I can't go out there and go do that. Like, there's no time to do it. You want to spend time with your kids.
Exactly.
Like, your time goes away. Like, you have to understand. There's no more. Done there's deal. No more me. Uh-huh. It's we.
Yeah.
Like, we is greater than me.
Or what there's I can no do more, for them.
There's, yes. There's no more you. That's all gone. Once you're married and have kids, there's no more you. You disappear for the most part.
Yeah.
It's all about your wife and your kids.
And I'm fortunate. Like I was telling you, Mark, my wife loves golf. So we go out and we play together. So that's extra time for us. And I don't have to make an excuse. I don't have to get a pass to go play because she's right there with me. And I know you're working on that as well in your relationship.
Yeah, you know? my wife wants me to go play tennis.
It's a beautiful thing,
I think she
thing,
wants me
man.
To go play tennis so I drop dead of a heart attack.
No, I don't think that's why. Oh, my goodness.
I'm joking. She wants to play golf. I'm like, Donna, I first off, yes, let's go play golf.
Right.
Let's go play golf. That's it. Can we take the cart? I don't want to walk.
Oh, man. Well, we both, we walk. We walk. So
God bless you.
Get a little exercise.
You're
out
more
there.
Physically fit than I am.
Well, you know.
There's no doubt. 100%. That's
makes,
not even debatable.
She makes me.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah, look at your arms. What are you? How much gym time are you pulling in a day, Otis? I mean, come on. Put those guns away. Yeah. Linden, New Jersey, we go. It's Carmen. It's the fan. What's going on, Carmen?
My home, Linden.
Oh, really? All right. You're from London as well, huh?
Yeah, that's where we live, yeah.
Oh, really, Otis? Well, the first thing I was going to say was I really enjoy the way you talk, soft-spoken, commanding respect with your soft-spoken, and I really like the way you spoke about your son and everything, and I enjoyed you. And Moose, I've always enjoyed you for a long time, and I love your takes on everything. But I'm amazed. You know, you're in Linden right now. I mean, you're still living in Linden.
Yes, right now. I'm in Manhattan right now. But yes, definitely.
No, I didn't mean right now. But I mean, your residence is still Linden.
Yes, it is.
I'll give you his address.
Oh please, yeah, come on by. No. Got some venison.
No. That's terrific. I didn't think anybody famous lived in our town.
Infamous, okay. Maybe. Come on. I'm infamous.
That's fantastic. It's a terrific cast. Second thing I just wanted to say, I'm a 75-year-old guy that has been a Yankee fan all my life. From the time I was 7 years old, when the number 7 came up, Mickey Mantle was my idol, and I love the Yankees. But when the Mets started playing, I've always been, I may live in Linden, but I've always been a New York fan. A Yankee fan, but I love to see the Mets do well as well. Mm-hmm. And like tonight, I'm looking forward, hopefully the rain doesn't get in the way, to the two Yankee games at 4 and 7.
Yeah.
And then seeing the end of the Mets game, which they start at 8:40.
Yeah.
So, and I root for the Mets. They're exciting as well. And
All right. The
final thing that I would like to say is I heard my voice on one of the tapes that they do on a commercial on the radio. Mm. It's my voice. I made a statement that I would love to see the Yankees and the Mets in the World Series this year and the Yankees win in 7 games. And they recorded the voice. It was nice to hear.
Yeah.
And
Carmen,
you know, I hope that happens. There's one final question I want to ask you, Moose. Do you have any idea right now with FanDuel or whatever, if I were to place a bet that the Mets and the Yankees?
Yeah, what those odds play, are. I mean, Carmen, I don't know. You're talking about the matchups. I don't know what those odds would be right now if you're looking to get Mets Yankees in the World Series. Mm.
But as a sportscaster, that would be a dream matchup, right? Subway Series again?
No doubt.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be great. Just get me one there. I mean, just one of them.
Yeah.
Dutchess County. John.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about, Alonzo? Maybe he should go do what Aaron Rodgers did, go in a tent and smoke a little, or maybe drink some bourbon. That's what I think he should do. A or B, some smoke in a tent like Aaron, or you could have some bourbon like I do.
So, right. So relax a little bit. Drink or smoke weed.
Yeah.
What about just a darkness retreat?
Yeah, I mean, bold.
Yeah.
Darkness retreat. It could do that.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the season.
We could all use a hallucinogenic, right? If that's the correct way to pronounce it. Mike in Fairfield, final call of the day. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to kind of piggyback on the guy that talked about Pete and compared it to a marriage. Maybe Pete's just in an unhappy marriage right now. I had that situation in life. I'm a Yankee fan, but like, you know, Pete's, you know, he's stagnant. He needs some new blood. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Mets aren't really going anywhere, most likely, as we all know. You know, maybe you should come over to the other side.
Oh, to the dark side.
What do you think?
To the Yankees, showing the evil empire.
The dark side.
So, Mike, you were a divorcee?
I'm a divorcee, and I'm currently engaged. Ah. So, you know.
You found happiness.
Get back on the horse.
Get back on the horse. Well, I just look at Alonzo now, and Mike, thanks a lot for the call. You know, where's the joy?
Yeah.
It's
been zapped.
Spirit. Yeah, it looks like exhausted. It.
Yeah.
Otis, this has been a blast.
As always, man.
You got it, brother.
Love working with you, man.
Enjoy Linden. Make sure to say hi to Carmen.
He's going to swing
by. Let me know when you're going hunting. All right? I'll work on the golf game with Donna.
There you go.
Once she starts talking to
me. I'm telling you.
Dove, fantastic. Hoff, love you. You guys are great across the way. You guys on the phones enjoyed it. keep it straight ahead. Loogie and Lightning.
Yeah.
Loogie and Lightning take you through the afternoon right up until Yankees baseball. Hey, they start right around 4. Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Be well. See you.